right, let's bow for a word of prayer. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. And would you say to the Lord, Lord, do a work in my heart tonight, please. Do a work in my heart tonight. Secondly, if you'd say, Lord, help the preacher to be filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, if you'd say, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. How many of you believe that we live in a fast world? Kind of fast, isn't it? Seems like everybody's always in a hurry. Connecticut, those people up there, see, we lived a couple years right after we were married. It's been years ago now. But those people, I think they were kind of set, their gauge was set to always be in a hurry. Because if you would set 1 second at the light past it turning green, you'd hear a horn. And I remember my mother broke down up there. She had a Ford. And you know probably how I feel about Fords, but generally speaking. But she had a Ford that broke down somewhere, and they were pushing her out of the road. Some people were nice enough to stop and help her pull. And as people went by, they were yelling that, like, get the car out of the road. And, you know, it's like always in a hurry. We live in such a fast world. We can send a document around the world in seconds now, right? We can send a text to a friend in another state in just seconds. We can have our meals ready in minutes rather than hours, as it used to be. You know, people would slave over a hot stove for hours. We have fast food restaurants. We can go through a drive-through or an ATM, excuse me, and get money quickly just like that. Hopefully, if you got something in there to pull out. You can do that. We have weight loss programs that are gauged, you know, like you can lose 15 pounds in your first 2 weeks of this diet, right? We have get-rich schemes. You know, this will happen quick. You invest your money here, and you will get rich quick. Now, if you look at all those things in the world and how they operate, how does that relate to a church? Have you ever thought about that? How does that work in a church? Not very well. I've found through my years of ministry that I wish there was a magic wand that we preachers could wave. You know, I don't believe in magic. Don't misunderstand me. But I wish there was something, you know, you could just kind of, let's wave a magic wand and our church would go, poof. Wouldn't that be good? You know, like every seat is now filled. Like, wow. We're having to think about going to two services. I wish that there was some magic formula that we could, you know, okay, now if we do this, 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 and this. What I found in ministry is ministry probably more than anything else requires patience. Because you don't see someone saved and mature within about 10 days. Now, like the world's best weight loss program or the best discipleship program. There's no way that you can lead someone to Jesus. And there was some kids. Three kids got saved at Vacation Bible School this year. We've had some years with more, some years with less, probably. But we had three. Now we don't expect those little kids to come in here and be able to quote us Bible verses and have a solid, mature foundation. I mean, it takes time, right? And in a church, especially in the world in which we live. It would be good if you could just put, okay, we're meeting at such and such a time, and then people would just flock in. But we're not in the 1950s. We're not in the 1960s. We're not in the 1970s. We're not even in the 1980s. We're in the 2023s. So what happens in the 2020s? What happens is we have to make sure that we're doing it God's way and then just keep doing what we know to do is right and leave all the rest to God. Seriously. And I know that in any church, I know that we can look and we should. We should look in the mirror and say, okay, now what can we do better? What can we do more of? You know, which ministry is working? Which ministry is not working? But I kind of stumbled upon this in Scripture because I was going to preach something else. And as I studied this passage, I come up with God's help and His Spirit speaking to me and helping me. God's plan for growth. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I didn't make this up, and I didn't even plan on going here necessarily, because I was going to look at one specific aspect. But as I looked at it and thought about it and looked at the verses and broke the verses apart, it really seems to me that God gives us a plan for growth. And 1 Corinthians is written to what? A church, right? To a local church. And he's saying, you know what? If you want to grow, you at least need to do this. But you're going to see who the actual agent of growth is in this church at Corinth, as well as our church here at Oakmount. And I may have to pause every once in a while and grab those glasses and look at this, because I wrote kind of small because I figured I'd have my glasses tonight. And I had them when I was preparing. And really, when God put all this together, and I'm like, man, I don't know. That sounds like more like a Sunday morning sermon. So why am I preaching that Sunday night? But mine is to do, and mine is not to ask questions. I just do what God wants me to do. So what we might do, actually, you know, normally in a series we go, you know, we go one, then we go two, and then point three and point four, way to grow. What we might be doing, we may be doing it backwards. I'm not sure yet. I haven't quite figured out what God wants to do. We may hit all of them quickly tonight and then go back in a series and look at each one of them in particular. I don't really know. Sometimes I don't understand God and what His plan is even in some of the sermons, but all I know is I'm supposed to preach this message, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, y'all agree with me? Just give me a little nod if you think God gives preachers messages to preach. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the first just nine verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Writing to the Corinthian church. Let me remind you before I read that. The Corinthian church was not a good picture of what a church ought to be, okay? You know, like, wow, they got two letters written to them. This must have been one fantastic church. Actually, in Scripture, it's the most dysfunctional church that a letter was written to is the church at Corinth. And you're going to see that in this passage. So, you know, don't be saying, well, that works for churches that are very functional and everything is going. This is a church that's dysfunctional, but God, through Paul, is writing them advice on how to grow and how to serve God. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Now, as I look at that church, you know, he's talking about increasing, right? And he's addressing a church that has some problems. And I think as I look at that, I see several. Actually, I have six things or steps that a church can do. We as individuals, we can apply this individual too, if we want to see growth in our lives and growth in our church. Now, ultimately, I've said many times, and I know some disagree with me on this, but growth is a sovereign act of God. It is a sovereign act of God, like revival is a sovereign act of God. But there's some things that if we don't have it right in our life and in our church, God says, boy, I'd really like to bless that church, but I can't. I can't. It goes against my nature. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. God's plan for growth. First of all, we in the church have to grow up. We have to grow up. Verses 1 and 2 talks about that. Grow up. Now, I don't know, some of you are a lot older than I am. I'm only 30. Some of you a lot older than I am, and you remember churches and you remember what they used to be, right? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think the people in the pews in general, I know there's exceptions to every rule, are more mature in Christ or less mature in Christ than they were way back then? I figure most of us would say probably less and less and less and less all the time. But if we want to see God grow a church, we have to make sure that we grow up. Now, that almost sounds like, well, that's so simple, preacher. Why in the world? Well, Paul felt it necessary to remind the Corinthian church, you got to grow up. You got to put, today we say, put your big boy pants and your big girl pants on and move on. But it says in verse 1, it says, but and our brethren, now he makes it clear, I'm writing to Christians, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He says, I can't even talk to you like you're real spiritual, but as unto carnal, worldly, fleshly. So I got to talk to you in such a way. I can't treat you like you're really super spiritual. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not looking at you and say, well, you're not spiritual. You're carnal. But I'm saying in general, as a church, we need to make sure that we are spiritual and not carnal. It says then, even as unto babes in Christ. So Paul says, I'm writing to you as a baby in Christ because you never grew up. Now, I'll just move on. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. Do you know what happens when you start preaching hard to someone who's a babe in Christ? Now, I'm not talking a babe because they're newborn. I'm talking about a babe who refuses to grow up. Do you know what happens? I can't believe that old preacher preached on that. I am so tired of hearing him. He's negative all the time, isn't he? I tell you, they can't take it. And that's what Paul says. I want to speak to you as spiritual. I want to really get you moving and motivated. But guess what? You got to grow up first. You got to grow up. And boy, if there's ever a time that I think we need to grow up in our churches in general, it's today. My goodness, we look at the dark world and curse the darkness, and then we forget to look in the mirror and say, well, maybe part of the problem is me. I need to grow up. You know, we need to, if God said it, we just need to do it, right? We don't need to negotiate about it. We don't need to compromise about it. We just need to say, God said it, we're going to do it. If he says to do this, I'm going to do it. If he says it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And then proceed accordingly, right? He says, he talks about babes in Christ desiring milk. He's talking about spiritual people when they grow up want meat. And it says, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye. So you still can't bear it. You're not able to do it now. You weren't able to do it before, and there's been a time span here, so you should have grown up. If we want to see our church grow. Now, I'm really going to have to be exciting tonight because you're hot and you're tired and you're probably doing the same thing I'd be feel like doing right now in this heat. So I'm going to be really exciting. Y'all ready? I know how to juggle. So has anybody got through it now? Let me tell you, if we want our churches to grow, we need to evaluate ourselves. You know, I don't need to evaluate John and say, John, you need, well, little brat. I can evaluate her because her nickname is little brat. Now, I'm not for me to look at little brat or little foot and say, you know, yeah, you or you or you. We need to look in the mirror, really, and say, am I grown up as a Christian? You know, some of us have been Christians for years and years and years. And unfortunately, many Christians in our church are still babies in Christ, babies. See, you can't grow up without the Bible, right? And they don't spend time in the Word, and they rarely come to church, and they're just little baby Christians. You can tell that sometimes. You rile their feathers real easy because they're baby Christians. God's plan for growth, first of all, grow up. Number two, measure up. Measure up. In verses 3 and 4, it talks about in particular, for ye are yet carnal, carnal, fleshly, worldly. And it says, look at this. It says, there's envying among you, there's strife, there's divisions. Where does that come from? You can't tell me that envy, strife, and divisions come from God. It comes from the old flesh, right? It comes from the ways of the world. And he says, now that's among you. And it says, are you not carnal and walk as men? We're supposed to walk as Christ, right? We're supposed to look more and more like Jesus every day. Y'all agree with that? In the way we act, in the way we think, and the way we reason, the way we treat people. But he says, but you're yet carnal, you're fleshly. You know, so many of our churches, man, they spend so much time on making the flesh happy that they don't even have time to worship the God of the universe. I mean, that perplexes people like me. I'm like, I don't get it. No, I'm not a perfect vessel. I definitely have my problems and struggles. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But for people to feed the flesh and ignore the God that made them, even though they profess to know Jesus, it's a head scratcher to me. Actually, it's more than that. It's more than a head scratcher. It's a duh. I don't get it. I really don't get it. But we need to measure up, where are we? Are we feeding the flesh, or are we feeding our walk with the Lord? We need to measure up. Where do we stand? For while one saith, now this is real spiritual here. This is really good. And if you've been in church any time in your life, you've heard this, most likely. You've heard this. You know, there's some little disagreement comes up, and then people choose sides, and then it's like, you know, for I really do not know of any sides in our church. Of course, I'm the preacher, and I'm the last to know, but I don't know of anybody saying side. But I'm telling you, it's not of the it's not of the Lord, it's of the devil when people start choosing sides. You can tell a lot of times, you can tell a lot of times who's on the right side just by the way they approach the situation. Not necessarily their stand, if you know what I'm saying. It's like, how are they approaching the situation? Are they name calling? Well, they're probably on the wrong side. If they're saying, you know what, I'm of this one and you're of this one and you're of this one and drawing all these lines and dividing us, most likely is, the truth is, they're not on the Lord's side. They're doing this because of the flesh, right? Last time I checked, we're on the same team. Sometimes we lose sight of that. But not only do we need to grow up, we need to measure up. And what I'm saying by that, how much of the world is in you? How much of the flesh takes control of your life? I don't think we'll ever 100% eradicate the flesh in this life. Now, some disagree with me on that. A few, not necessarily folks that are of our flavor that believe the way we do, but some believe they can reach perfection. I just don't see that happen. I don't see that taught in Scripture. We'll never reach perfection. But right now, how do you measure up in this area of flesh versus God? Carnal. How much of your life is carnal, would you say? Again, I can't look at you and say, well, that's you're 25%. You're fit. You know, that's not my job. It's God's job, and it's your responsibility to say, Lord, how much carnality is in my life? And I'll tell you, even the best of Christians sometimes have problems with this. Do y'all agree with that? You know, Ryan's air conditioning unit, speaking of air conditioning, his air conditioning in his car wasn't working right. One half was blowing, one half of the car, the passenger side, was blowing cold, and the other side, the driver's side, was blowing hot or warm. And so he's like, So we do what all good do-it-yourselfers do. We Google it, right? And we try to find a YouTube video and say what to do. And I went to the parts, went to Walmart in this case. I was going to get it at the parts store, but I had to go to Walmart for something else. I said, well, it's cheaper here. Let's go ahead and get it. You get this can, and you get this gauge, and you put it, real simple, it's almost foolproof. I can't believe that I've not done it through the years. I've not had too many cars recharged, but this could have been done a lot through the years if we needed it, because it's real simple. So after church, we'll have a do-it-yourself how to recharge your Freon in your car seminar, okay? See, there's reason, there's purpose in coming to church. But it had a little meter on it, and it told you the pressure. So you put it over this like an air connector, and on the lower side of the pump, and you looked at this little meter, and it told you what the PSI was. And if it was not where the little on the can told you, according to the ambient air, you need to push the little button and put some Freon in it. And then once it gets, all I'm saying is put the gauge of carnality over your life and see what it reads. And as we get older, as we get closer to the Lord and mature, part growing up, it should say less and less carnality and more spirituality or maturity. So grow up, measure up. God's plan for growth. We got to grow up. We got to measure up. Third, we got to man up. Man up. We got to do our part. Look at verse 5 and 6. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Do you know God gives every one of us the spiritual gift in us to enable us to do what he wants us to do? Do you realize that? He calls Paul and Apollos. He said, you're saying I'm of this one, I'm of that one. They're just ministers. They're just doing what they were gifted to do. If we want to see growth, we need to have people plugged in to serving the Lord in the areas of giftedness that God has given to them. We need to man up and say, well, that one ought to be serving, that one ought to be serving. We need to again look in the mirror and say, where do you want me to serve, right? I've heard it said, even through seminary, that typically what happens, 20% of the church, I don't think it really works in our case necessarily, but the breakdown was 20% of the church usually does almost all the work in the church, while the 80% sit back and watch. Can I add, and they watch and many times criticize and say, why'd you do it that way? Why'd you do it that way? Why'd you do it that way? But you know, every one of us need to man up. Can you imagine that everyone that comes to our church on Sunday morning, can you imagine this? Every one of them would feel burdened by God to draw closer to him. And every one of them would say, you know, I may not be a member of Oak Mound, but I want to join the church. Can you imagine? I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. And then God says, psst, hey, you said you want to do whatever? This is what. Can you imagine everyone that comes to church on Sunday morning, plugged in faithfully, week after week after week, service after service after service? Can you imagine if everybody would man up like that, what we could see happen in our church? Whew, pretty exciting to think about, don't you think? It says that, I have planted, Paul says, Apollos watered it on their part. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, actually in verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. So God gives us grace. God gives us giftedness. God's plan for growth. Grow up, mature in Christ. Measure up. Get the world and the flesh out of the way as much as we can with God's help. Third, man up, do your part. Number four, pray up. Pray up. Now, this is where I originally was starting on this message. It was looking at the prayer part of it. And I was going to encourage the church to pray for growth. But you look at verse 6, the latter part of the verse. Notice what it says. I didn't write this. I didn't make this up. But right here it is. Now, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. Where is the Apostle Paul looking for increase? God, right? The Apostle Paul. Oh, surely it was Paul's dynamic personality, right? Oh, come on. Surely it was Paul's good looks, right? Surely it was Paul's intelligence, right, that increased the ministry. No. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but you know, if God gives the increase, and he does, I think it's important for us to pray to God for the increase. Don't you? I mean, if I could just do it real simply, I'd get a great big banner, hang it up there. Who knows? We might do this. Pray for the increase. Because it's not in my world. I can't make an increase. I can do a certain part. I can man up like everybody else. You can man up, measure up, grow up, but guess what? God is the one that grows a church. If you disagree with that, you disagree with God. Because it says right there, if anybody could say, no, this, I've got this. This is what we're going to do, and this is going to grow. It'd be the Apostle Paul. Now, I know you've seen false pictures on the television of somewhat glamorous-looking people preaching before thousands of people. Can I tell you that most of them are false prophets? They're false teachers are getting up there telling what people want to hear, itching their ears, and they're not truly preaching the gospel and standing on the truth. I mean, that's what people want to hear, right? They want to hear all the good things. Well, if you have enough faith, everything will be great. If you have enough faith, God wants to use you. Your very best self can come forward if you just simply have enough faith. And you won't get sick, you won't. I mean, goodness gracious, that's garbage. That's not found in the Word of God. But let me tell you, in your Bible-believing and preacher churches, it's God that gives the increase. It's God that gives the increase. And until we get that, we're going to keep hitting our head on the wall going, bong, 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 bong. You know, what's going on? Why aren't we growing? Well, God hasn't given us the increase, but I pray that He will. Y'all agree with that? Give me a little nod. If you don't, say, oh, me or something. Got to pray up. We got to grow up. We got to measure up. We got to man up. We got to pray up. It says in verse 7, the latter part, so then neither is he that planteth anything. That's Paul. He says in this process of growth, I'm not anything. I just did what God wanted me to do. Neither is he that watereth. That's Apollos. But God that giveth the increase. He says it twice in two verses. Twice in two verses. God giveth the increase. But you know what you and I need to do? We need to pray that God gives us increase. I mean, I don't know how much clearer to make that. We just got to pray that the God of the universe works in people's heart and life. I can't save a soul. I can tell them about Jesus. I can't get them to come to church, but God can. I can't get them to be faithful. I can just tell you the truth, but God can. We need God to stir in hearts and lives of the saved and in the lost, turn it over to Him. And I really believe that a lot of times we have not because we ask not. Isn't that Bible too? Why don't we start praying as a church? I want to encourage every one of you, pray. Say, God, give us increase. Now, we've been praying that in a sense in revival, but I'd like for you to start using that word, increase. Lord, give us an increase. Give us an increase. Give us an increase. And one thing about it, we're pretty blessed to have a lot of facilities. We could increase a whole bunch if God chooses to do it, right? I am struck by how God has moved in people's hearts and lives through camp. There were decisions, life-changing decisions made at camp. Vacation Bible school. There were life-saving decisions made at Bible school. But you know, the devil is fighting tooth and nail. These decisions and these people that want to draw closer to God. And we try to reach parents. I mean, it's not like we just kind of drop the ball. We try. We try to encourage them to come. Like that lady Sunday, you try to encourage them to come. No phone call, right? What's going to move that woman's heart to get right with God is God. God gives the increase. God gives the increase. Again, I'll say this in case you miss it. We need to do our part, but God gives the increase. It's as clear to me as the nose on your face. You heard that expression? God gives the increase. You know, one thing, it would totally knock most preachers out of ministry if they don't get that in their brain. You know why? And I do it sometimes. I'm like, man, what am I doing wrong? You know what? What are we not doing as a church? And we beat ourselves up. And again, examination, self-examination is a good thing, right? And looking at our ministries is a good thing and saying, how can I do better? Who can I tell more about God? And I can do that more. But half the preachers are getting out of ministry. You know why? They're discouraged. They come to church, they prepare, and nobody shows up very much. Now, you're the cream of the crop. God bless you for coming. But you know, really, so preachers, if we don't get this God gives the increase thing, we start looking in the mirror and say, well, I'm not much of a preacher. And I, you know, we need to be honest, absolutely. But we need to say, you know what? God gives the increase. All I'm doing, you know that song, Little Is Much When God Is In It? I think it's based upon these verses. What do you think? Little is much when God is in it. It doesn't matter if thousands are coming or few, right? You just keep on doing what you know to do is right and let God handle. I tell people something about growth, and again, some people disagree with me. I'm sure there's people in this church that would disagree with me on this. I'd almost promise you that. But let me tell you, when people start talking about growth and all that, and it's not just shifting the buck. I mean, I really mean it. I mean it in my heart. I mean it with every ounce of my being. That's God's department. That's God's department. God giveth the increase. So we need to pray to God. Do you think? We have not because we ask not. We need to pray to God. Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. There's some things in here that kind of relate to this a little bit. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 to 38. It says, and you're familiar with this. I've even alluded to this lately in a sermon. Then saith he unto his disciples, Jesus, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So there's a problem. We don't have as many laborers as we need. Would you say that about Oak Mound? We don't have as many laborers as we need or would like to have, right? What's his solution? Jesus says, Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Now, isn't that interesting? The Lord of the harvest. That goes right back to who does the increasing, doesn't it? He's the Lord of the harvest. I'm not, John's not, Bill's not, Ken's not, Linda, Gwen, who'd I miss? Brett, Amy, Angela, Jason, they're not, Tim, Marsha, sorry. You're not the Lord of the harvest. God is. And if we need more laborers, it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Would you join me in praying regularly for the increase? Praying for the increase. That's God's department. Would you do that? God's plan for growth. Isn't it cool when you look at God's word and it just kind of all comes together and you're like, wow, that's really powerful stuff. It's not coming from me. It's coming. It's the Lord. And the Lord said, hey, look at this. Grow up, measure up, man up, pray up. Number five. I only got two more to go. Team up. If you want a church to grow, team up. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? Are several. Is that what it says? Are multiple. No, it says they are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers. What's that next word? Together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. It's like we're his vineyard. He does the increasing. We are his building. It says ye are God's building. So I think it's very important that we team up. We need to be unified. You know, unity is not the same as agreeing on everything. You know? It really isn't the same. You know, unity, I preached this series. I'd like to preach it again sometimes. I preached this series at one church I was at, actually filling in before I came here, on unity. And if you look at unity in particular, unity is really recognizing that above all else, Christ. Above all else. Priority is Christ. So, if someone wants to change the color of the carpet, and you're firm, you say, I want green. And this side of the church over here says, we want blue. You know what? It's kind of like, You know what? Compared to Christ, this really is pretty insignificant. It's recognizing the priority of Christ. And see what happens too often in too many churches. You know, we let the little things knock Christ off of the number one spot and say, what's most important is me getting my way. And if I don't get my way, But what's most important is Christ. Y'all agree with that? We need to team up. We need to be unified. We are one. We are laborers together. And see, that's a real important message, again, to this church, because they're dividing up in teams. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. We're the outcast group. We're not in either one of those. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. And he's saying, you know what? That's not right. That's not right. You know, we need to be unified and say, Christ is it. We need to follow what God wants us to do. And I'll tell you, it may be sound self-serving, but God gives direction to the church. If you can find anywhere else in the Bible, God gives direction to the church through the pastor. But it got awful quiet. Would you say amen to that, Amy? And when a church doesn't follow the direction of the pastor that God has placed in the midst of a church, there's normally problems. There normally is. But we need to team up. We need to understand that we're working together. It's all about God. It's all about His kingdom. God has roles and responsibilities for all of us. And we need to make sure that we say, you know what? Christ is number one in all things. And compared to Christ, that little disagreement we had about this or that, or whether we should buy this or that, or whatever, is pretty small. I think we can just get past it, don't y'all? You know, sometimes we as Christians, we just need to say, you know what? I agree to disagree with you on that. Let's just agree together, shall we? And let's move on. We're never going to agree on that. I've had to do that in my life several times. You know, we're just not going to agree on that. So let's just move past it, continue our friendship, and in this context, let's continue our serving the Lord together and just keep on moving forward. So we need to team up. And number six, the last part of God's plan for growth. We need to grow up, mature in Christ. We need to measure up, get the world and the flesh out of our lives. We need to man up. We need to do our part. We need to pray up. We need to pray for the increase, because that's God's department. Number five, we need to team up. That means unify. And lastly, we need to look up. Say, what do you mean, you look up? Well, do you realize that our time is short? You know, I'm not a drama king, or try not to be, but this could be the last message that I ever preach. I mean, it's possible. This could be the last service that you ever attend. It's amazing to me that we live our lives and we think down the road, and this, but we have no promise of tomorrow, right? Life is short. It seems like that keeps coming up lately, but I guess God wants to drive that point home, that life is short. So this could be my last message. This could be your last service. The people out there, this could be their last day on earth. We need to realize that our time is short. And you say, well, where do you get that at? I don't quite see that. Well, this one is not quite as obvious as some of the others. But when it says, now he that planteth, in verse 8, and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What's that talking about? Another topic we've hit lately, the judgment seat of Christ, right? And if you read on in this passage, it leads right into the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 13 and 14 of the same chapter as he continues the argument. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, verse 13, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive, there it is, again, a reward. You know, if we want to grow as a church, we need to live like life is short. Not like we're going to all live to be 100. The more I see this world, I'm not even sure I want to live to be 100. You know what I mean? We need to live like this is a precious gift right here, right now. Let's use it for the glory of the Lord instead of waiting, well, maybe next week, or maybe the week after, maybe in a couple years. We need to look at our life as if it's running out. And we need to be looking up, because the rapture happens and then the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what he talks about, the judgment seat of Christ. So we need to be looking up, saying, you know, this could be the day. This could be the day. This could be. Now, if I told you that I knew, and I don't, and I'm not saying this, but if I did say, you know what, the Lord's coming back tomorrow. I'm telling you, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, he's coming back tomorrow. Again, I'm not saying that, but if I were to tell you that, and you were to believe that what I told you, I'll bet you that you'd do a few things different between, 7:30 on Sunday evening and 4 o'clock tomorrow when the Lord comes back. I would do some things different. I guarantee you, I'd probably be getting on the phone and trying to talk to some people that I'm not sure they've nailed down their salvation. I don't know. I'd have to think through a minute, but I guarantee you I'd be doing some things a little different. What if we lived every day like it was the day before the Lord came back, or the last day of our life on this earth? Let me tell you, I believe God would probably look at that and say, whoa, those people are serious. Let's bless them down there. In my sovereignty, I'm going to bless them with some growth. I'm going to bless them with some fruit. God's plan for growth. And I say again, it's not a magical formula at all. It's simply some expectations. If we really want to grow as a church, and I have that desire, I'd like to grow as a church. You know, it's not just so, well, I can go to pastor's meeting and say, well, I pastor a church of 500. You know, it's not for that reason. It's because numbers represent souls. And the more people we reach and the more people that hear sermons on Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday school lessons on Sunday morning, the more they're going to go closer to God and the more they're going to have a desire to go out and tell their friends. It's like, right? Keeps growing. That's my desire. And if we want to do it, it's a sovereign act of God. But there's certain things that we need to make sure that we're contributing to the cause. Because I do think sometimes God could look down, and if we're not grown up, we're not measuring up, we're not manning up, we're not praying up, we're not teaming up, we're not looking up, God says, I don't know about that bunch. I don't know how serious they really are. I'm not sure I'm going to send any real growth their way. God's a gracious God. Thank the Lord. He's merciful. Thank the Lord. But there's certain things that if we're not doing, we can just sit back and wait another 100 years, and God's not going to increase our numbers if we're not serious about the Lord. If I were to summarize all these in one point, get serious about the Lord. Let's get serious about the Lord. Tonight, God's plan for growth. Grow up, mature in Christ. Measure up. Get the world and the flesh and all that thinking and all those desires with God's help out of your life as best you can. Man up. Do your part. There's no such thing as spectator Christianity. Works pretty good when you're watching a football game, but it doesn't work when you have church. People need to get off the sidelines and say, you know what, I'm here, man. I'm in the game. Third, we need to man up. We need to do your part, that is. Number four, pray up. Pray for the increase. Let me encourage you to do that. Five, team up. We need to be unified. Number six, look up. Realize our time is short because the Lord's coming back, and our life clock is ticking away. What are you doing for the Lord? I guess my main challenge tonight, I mean, you take from it whatever God wants you to take from it, okay? Like I said, you may hear this again. I don't know, God might do something weird like he's done some evangelists of the past. They preach the same message like 6 times. I don't know. You might hear this Sunday morning. I don't know how God's going to use it. But let me encourage you. My main encouragement tonight, pray for Would you do that? Bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you, before God right now, as best as your memory will allow you, will you pray every day that God gives us increase here at Oak Mound? If you'd do that, nobody looking around, if you'd do that, you say, God helping me, I'm going to pray every day that God blesses Oak Mound with increase. Would you raise your hand up? God bless you. Thank you for those hands. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Let me ask you, was there some other area that God may have spoke to your heart? You know, we covered quite a bit of ground there. Is there some area that you say, you know, that's me. I need to do better. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart in that area. Would you take just a moment and say, Lord, help me? Whatever God's talked to you about. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit may be saying, psst, this is what you need to do. Would you talk to God about that right now? You might need to start, Lord, forgive me, and then maybe end it with, Lord, help me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. It's an amazing book. Lord, it's ever living, ever true. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to see growth here at Oak Mound. I pray that you'll help us to be all that you want us to be. Lord, guide us and direct us to the invitation. If anyone feels the need to come to the altar, I pray that they'll know that the altar is always open for them to come and pray. And maybe for a concern, maybe to pray about something in the message. Or Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that says, you know what, I'm really not sure I'm saved. And you hit that pretty hard this morning. I'm not sure I'm saved. I pray, Lord, you'll give them the boldness to step out, come forward and talk to me. If someone might be listening in that says, you know what, I'm really not sure I'm saved. Or they might say, I know I'm not saved. Let me encourage you. Would you call out to the Lord sincerely from your heart and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus was God's Son who died on the cross for me and paid for my sins and resurrected back to life, and I confess Jesus as my Savior. If you mean that from your heart, you can trust the Lord right now. Lord, we commit this invitation to you. It's yours in Jesus' name. Amen.